Well, yes, it's been a busy, busy week. But a couple weeks ago when I was doing the message about our lives, being grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ and our lives as believers, there's something that Jesus wanted us to be doing, and most of us don't do it. It's called producing fruit. If you ever paid attention how many times he talked about fruit, how many times he talked about the vine, and if a tree's not producing fruit, it wasn't just going to take up space. They went and they cut it down, and they planted a new tree. And when that happens, you got hopefully a harvest. But something that I really wanted to look at was our fruit production. We all know, you know right where some of the scriptures I'm going to this morning. So in Ephesians 5, 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." The church doesn't want to expose them because they bring in money to the church sometimes. But the fruit of the Spirit, I really got into that this morning as I was looking over that. The Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." The word crucified here, I believe, gets used a lot, because I was sitting in the back this morning and I was thinking about it. I read a lot the other day about crucifying. So many people got different four nails. The Catholic Church evidently thinks there's 36 or something like that, because they verify these are the ones. When we start worshiping nails, we got a problem. But they showed how they were crucified. You know, some people still believe it was right there in the palm of the hand. It may have been, I don't know. I got stung the other day by a hornet. And I grabbed a piece of firewood, didn't know he was there, and boy, he just lit into me. And I was like, "Man, what did..." And then I saw him fly away, and then I looked down, and I got this red spot. I had a moment of weakness. And I went in the house, I dumped our coin jar, and I grabbed a penny. It works. I don't know why, but it worked. I stuck that penny on there, and came out, and I'm sitting on the deck. She's cleaning the deck, and she says, and I told her what had happened. She says, "Well, how are you feeling now?" I said, "Well, I don't want to burn the house down now." But the palm of your hand has a lot of nerves in it. So does your wrist. The Romans were experts at torture. They make the CIA and some of them guys look like amateurs. But the feet was the one that got me. They crucified him in a couple different ways. Some of them, they would put their legs on either side of the beam that was the upright, and they'd drive the spikes through the ankles sideways. And it's believed that Jesus was crucified with three, and his feet were overlapping one another, and they went right in through, out through the heel. Kind of bad, bad news. That's impossible to do to yourself, isn't it? Okay, I got one in my hand. Well, you don't have a hand to crucify your feet. Okay, so I do my feet first. Well, you're in so much pain, there is no way you're going to put one in your hand. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why you need God. People trying to discipline themselves without God in things. Trying to crucify that flesh. Mortify is the word. And there's a part of that word, it comes from Latin, mors, which means shame, humility, and put to death. Back in the later in the church, self-flagellation. They would literally whip themselves. I think I'd just rather not. I hurt myself enough. But there is a discipline in our lives. The last several months, and I've really enjoyed this, just cutting back on some carbs. And I eat more than she does. I'll have French fried potatoes sometimes. I'll have a piece of bread. But I cut back on what I was. I'm not eating potatoes at every meal like I did when I was 20. I haven't touched a pop since January. So I've disciplined myself in that sugar realm. And then I realized just how much sugar I was taking in a 12-ounce can of Coke. Some of you may know the answer already. How much sugar is in a 12-ounce can? 10 teaspoons. That's a lot of sugar in just that one can. And I remember a time in life I would drink 6 of them just at work. And when my wife was 9 months pregnant, I could stick my stomach out as far as she did. But it's called discipline. Am I going to drink pop? I really don't want it anymore. I have no desire for it. I had a Yoo-hoo the other day. It was fantastic. But I'm not going to, what's the word I'm looking for? Villainize something that has nothing to do with it. It's my undisciplined. Doesn't matter, just like in boot camp when they're telling you don't swat a mosquito, don't hit the sand flea, or you're going to bury it. It's discipline. It's standing still. It's teaching you something. Well, I don't know what getting bit by a bug. It teaches you not to slap it when you're in combat, when you're waiting in ambush. So, but our disciplineness, we discipline ourselves in these areas, not talking about others, thinking about others. What do I do in my life? How does it affect somebody else? Nobody really thinks about that much. Oh, nobody knows me. I guarantee, we were talking the other day, we went to a wedding. And as I'm sitting there, you know, I got up and told everybody, shut your phones off. Just shut them off completely. I just shared, normally I have no family here. And I said, normally if the phone goes off in a church service I'm preaching at, it's my family. Then I realized my son and daughter-in-law were sitting in there besides my wife. But I had a son and a daughter-in-law sitting in there, their family too. But we were sitting there and I realized how many people I knew. The 6 points of separation. Somebody knows you. Somebody knows. Nobody saw me. 9 times out of 10, somebody saw you. Oh, and by the way, somebody always sees you. He may not be sitting here condemning you about it right now. I saw a meme, and it said adult videos over here. Over here was a great big billboard that says, Jesus is watching. Well played. Somebody knows. See, our lives are intertwined. Doesn't matter. I come into contact with people that I just met and come to find out you've known them for 20 years. Go figure. God connects our lives. So fruit production. Why do we have to, first off, crucify the flesh? Why do we need to die? Y'all remember I taught you about the grafting. The Bible says we are grafted into the vine, right? We are branches that are brought in and we're grafted into the vine. Now, you may not know this, but the branch still produces the same fruit. It didn't change. It's because of the DNA of the branch. If you take a red delicious branch and you put it on a yellow golden delicious, it's still going to produce red because that's the DNA of the branch. But there's a difference for us, isn't there? It's in the very first step of our faith. First off, we confess with Jesus Christ as Lord. We are saved. That's what the Bible says. So if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you are saved. But there's another step, and it's been overlooked by a lot of churches, and it's starting to take off again finally. And that's baptism. And when we're baptized, we are dying to ourselves. It's the symbolism of us dying to ourselves. It is something that is very powerful. I just died. I'm resurrected again. Now in him, I am in his vine. His life is now to flow through me, through the Holy Spirit. My DNA, my spiritual DNA is changing. We kind of thwart that sometimes when we stop. I don't want to forgive this person. I just can't forgive them. That's a root of bitterness. And it will destroy you. It will stop any growth you have. So dying to ourselves, when we're grafted into that vine, it has to die. The old art had to die. The old art wasn't really a bad person. I had some things, as we all do, not so proud about. Some things that maturity has changed. Things I've recognized. When the Bible says, in all goodness, righteousness, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness is God's action. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, it was his goodness because there's compassion in that goodness. He was looking down and he saw all these people, saw those who were weeping, those who were jeering and cheering them on. And they both needed a Savior. It's what kept him on the cross was his compassion, his goodness. But truth. I speak the truth. No, you don't. You speak what you want to call the truth. You never look at your own life and call it for what it is. Why did I do it? I told you before in my own life, I ran from God. You think reading about Jonah would have got through to me? But it didn't. Because I wanted to get away from God. And I ran smack dab into him. But it was years and years later. I asked God, I said, God, why did I do that? Why did I act out like this? I grew up with alcoholics. I know firsthand what alcoholics do. They're not nice. And if you have had one or have been one, you know that is the fact, Jack. But I still did it. I said, God, why did I do it? He said, because you were angry. I was so angry about. I was running from God in my heart, in my mind. But the reality was I was running from religious people. People who claim to be people of God up here and here. But when they got out there, There was no difference between them and the world. There was no goodness, there was no kindness, unless it was of their kind, right? Oh, we're good if somebody knows we're a Christian and we go to church with them, or we know what church they go to. We're good. We'll treat them nicely. How are you different from the world? How are you different from the world if that's what you act? That kindness thing goes to everybody. The neighbor you don't like so much. It's not your right to carry a grudge. It's not your right to be spiteful. The Bible doesn't say, when you treat people spitefully, they'll get it. He says, love them in spite of it. Pray for those who spitefully hurt you. They know what they're doing. So, the truth, that was a smack up the side of my head why I acted the way I did. I would never have classified myself as an angry person. I could get angry, we all can. Like I said, the other day I got stung. I hadn't gotten that angry in a long time. That hurt. I realized that's probably the worst thing I've ever had. And that, man, my hand's still a little tender. Later on, I don't know if it had anything to do with it or not, but I mean, it was within 10 minutes. I'm standing over there and I realize I'm kind of having difficulty breathing here. Am I having an anaphylactic reaction to this? And I just said, no, Art, calm down. Don't freak out. And it went away. Don't know if that's what it was or not, but it's not my first time getting stung just by a hornet. But that anger came up. See, the Bible tells us we can be angry and sin not. I was angry, but I didn't sin. I did smash his nest. That's just all there is to that. It was going to happen one way or the other, angry or not. And I might have killed his cousin a little bit later. But I was angry at people. Some of them were dead. And I was carrying, and it was destroying me, not them. They didn't know, and by the way, they paid the price. I can tell you things that happened in their life right after what they did. But I carried that, and I was so angry. So looking back, God, why do I act like this? Oh, well, brother, you know, I don't believe that. Oh, just shut up and deal with your problem. Everybody else can see who you really are. And anybody who's ever gotten close to you knows who you really are. I worked with a guy one time. He was fantastic to talk to, but to work for? Absolutely not. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you run off a Jehovah's Witness from your job, you did something. Because they take opposition as a good credit for heaven. And this guy did that. He says, I'm done with you. I'm fed up with you. That's why they keep coming to your doors. Until you tell them, don't come back. Now, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're baptized in water. Now, some people say, you got to be baptized in water, then baptized. It does not matter. There were people that Peter found out, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit with all the evidence of tongues and such. They didn't even know what baptism of water was. Oh, sorry about that. I got Johnny going back here. I'm like, it might be catching up. Well, you know what? Here, we can do this, because go ahead and power it down, Jason. That's all the scriptures. And I've got them right here if I need them. Yeah, I must have really held that with my knuckle. But it does not matter. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is God's life. That's why he said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. We've always looked at that, and everybody jumps, especially in charismatic realm, jumped in. You're going to get all these gifts. You're going to speak in tongues. You're going to cast out demons. First off, demons don't need you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You do need to know who Jesus Christ is, though. I know 7 boys that will testify to that fact. They're in your Bible. They got whooped by an old man. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is our power to crucify that flesh. That Holy Spirit flowing through our veins is life. The Holy Spirit is life, not a mystical power that makes you weird. It brings you life. And then you will be witnesses, is what Jesus said. Do you know how you're a witness? The Bible, I told you this when we were talking about being grafted in, producing fruit, that when you do good works out in the world, people see the good you're doing. And you got to do 10 times the good works as opposed to one bad deed. People remember your bad deeds more than they ever remember all the good you did. Thank God he doesn't. But then you go out into the world and you're working with people and they see how you react. They see how you are. If you're cussing people out at your job, they know that and they've marked you. You have got to allow the Holy Spirit to change you. If you fly off the handle every 5 seconds, you got an anger problem. There was a time in life, it took a while, and then I just let it kept festering. I was a mechanic for quite a few years, and I worked one with a guy, particularly in the Philippines, who, you talk about a temper. The second you heard the first foul word come out of his mouth, you had better get out of the shop, because that wrench, that hammer, whatever was in his hand was coming out of from underneath that truck. And he'd throw it. He's had a lot of problems. And I got to, now there's a few tools. After I pinched myself, hurt myself with them because they're cheap, I took them out and I threw them as far as I could so I couldn't find them again. Because sometimes garbage tools just need to go to the garbage. But I had to break a habit that I started picking up, throwing something. You have to fix whatever it was you just threw that hammer through. And if it was a person, you're really in trouble now. But the works, get over here. But our fruits. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. These are the things the world needs to see. These are attributes of a believer. It's not saying that you've mastered it all yet. There's a lot of this I'm good to go on. Others, I got some more work. Long suffering. And I've always told you before, if you ask God for patience, look out. Because you just asked him, Lord, I need another opportunity. Because if you ain't figured it out, God doesn't just say, okay, here, Angela, you want patience. Open up. I'm going to give it to you. No, he says, here's an opportunity. What do you mean? No, here's an opportunity. You're going to be patient with that person. But Lord, I want joy. I want to have the joy. Well, here we are. We're in a time we don't know what's going on in the world. Weather's going this way, that way. Calling for snow. Somebody told me the other day they're calling for snow somewhere else. Oh, in mountains of West Virginia. Horseshoe Mountain, they're calling for snow this week. Yippee. My least favorite of all weather. patterns. But I'm not in West Virginia, I'm in Ohio. Whatever you need to work for is going to be an opportunity. You want love? You're going to get tested in your love like you've never seen. People who are unlovable is who's going to come into your life. Not the sweet old lady who brings you cookies every morning. You're going to get her demon sister. And she's going to bring you X-Lax cookies. That's who you're going to get to work with. You're going to have to love people who are unlovable. By the way, if you're having problems loving people, that's because you're unlovable too. You just haven't realized that God still loves you regardless. Kindness, goodness. Now these are attributes, but see, in Ephesians, Paul listed three things. Goodness, righteousness, truth, yes. Say it loud enough I can hear. Those three things. You know, I was talking to you earlier about the nails. I was like, Lord, did the nails mean anything? You Google that, and oh my goodness, you get all kinds of theories. I was just like, how do you say that word? And it's been going on for years, and that's how I started learning. Well, 3, 4, 2, 36. But if there's only three, goodness, righteousness, and truth is what held him to the cross. His attributes, who he was. He's gentle. But maybe the person sitting at the money-changing table that day, well, ain't gonna think he's so gentle or so kind. But what about the 5,000? What about the people that had followed him for 3 days and he fed them? He said, we're not gonna force a fast on them. I've heard preachers talk about back in the day when they were starting off, they were traveling and they'd go to a church and they'd put them in a closet in the back of the church somewhere. That was their bedroom. And they said, we think there's a fast going on. You need to fast for this. I will fast when God tells me to fast. Ain't nobody telling me I need to fast. We mistreated people. We've used fasting as an excuse to be cheap. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, right there's a big one, that self-control thing. That covers the gamut. I had a Yoo-hoo. It satisfied what I wanted. I got two cases. I bought them when they were on sale in December. I was like, woohoo, yoo-hoo, right? But I don't want them. I've self-disciplined, self-control. And that thing stung me the other day. I didn't take that piece of wood and knock over my smoker and bust the door and act like a fool. Because then I'm the one that's got to pay for the new smoker, fix the door. And I'm the one who had to go clean up the pennies that I jumped out of there. And my loving wife, you know what she did? She says, honey, sit down here and I'll go get you a Gatorade. Okay. She stopped what she was doing to serve me. And it calmed me down. I went back out. Did what I had to do, came in, got cleaned up. Can't get here to my. We know what joy is. But the thing is joy is not just a feeling that you get sometimes, right? The joy of Christmas. Well, not to everybody is Christmas a joy. Love. It's not the same love that I have with my wife. It's a love I have for my brother. She's my sister as well, so she's got that too. It's a love that says, you know, we may not be from the same bloodline, but you're my brother. And I don't care how bad I'm not getting along with my brothers. You don't touch my brother. That's my brother. And as the big brother, it was my job. Not only to protect them. Sometimes they got hurt. That's just what happens when you're the big brother. But you don't mess with them. And that's the way I feel about you guys. You're not just somebody in my church. You're my brother or my sister. And when you're hurting, man, you can ask Angela something. We get word up, time to pray. Oh, bless God. We pray right then and there. And I ain't saying, oh, Lord, bless them in this time of need. Lord God, the enemy's coming after my friend. Smack him up his stupid head. Send in people to surround them with love. The peace. It's a sense of calm and tranquility, both inwardly and in your relationships. I got peace in this world. Yeah, it's a little crazy right now. Things are never going to go back to the way they were pre-20. I'll tell you that right now. But if you've read the book of Revelation at any given time, you knew it wasn't going to. Patience. We've talked about it. Remember, you're asking? Long suffering. By the way, these are all attributes Jesus mastered. Because how many times did he say, how long do I have to put up with you? How long do I have to carry you? Just one more day, Lord. Just one more day. Unfortunately, for the disciples, they didn't have that. Kindness. Means a genuine concern for well-being of others. A genuine. I've heard tale and rumors of particular world leaders, but people that were known throughout the world, that the only reason they were doing was perpetuate their church. Not for a genuine concern they had for the situation. So their name could be gotten out there. I don't care if our name ever gets out. But let me tell you something, folks. We've helped people in this community all around. People get their cars fixed. People get food. People get help on other areas. Now, we don't help everybody that comes. There's just no money to do that. Because then people are like, hey, you helped me last month. You helped me again? We just had it. I said, I already told you, you got 12 months. Not happening again. It's time for you to trust God, too. But you know, we've drilled wells. We helped a church in Ukraine get a bus so they could get their people. Or a van. Well, I don't believe we should be helping you. I don't care what you believe. They're my brothers and my sisters too. Whatever Zelensky is doing is up to him. But bless God, Luda and her church need us. And they need your prayers, because she posts pictures. We have got to understand, we are the church, not the church. It's every church, every branch. As long as we believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and He is the only way to God, that's all that matters. Don't care whether you think my not wearing a suit and tie or a robe and all this fancy stuff, or that I got tattoos. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Goodness is a commitment to ethical behavior, honesty, integrity. A commitment. You have to be committed. Faithfulness, a steadfast commitment to God and others, even in the face of adversity. How many people deny knowing this church, knowing that church? Peter did it. Aren't you with them? He cussed her out. Gentleness. Jesus went into a temple one day, made a whip on his way in, turned over tables, and started beating people with it. Another day, he's sitting on a rock, playing with the children. Same Jesus. And self-control. That's an issue right there that we could look at, of self-control, even when he went in there. If you've never let go, let your rage go, you understand sometimes you go beyond a point you really wanted to cross. That happens a lot in the military. And people, I don't know, you got to be able to control. You tell me when somebody's shooting at you with a machine gun, how much control you're going to have. Because if you have not mastered the discipline of coming out from behind your hiding spot and charging the bullets, you're not going to have any self-control because you just messed yourself. And when you get up there, if you've gone over that line, you're not going to come back from it easy. You have to train. Jesus did not go in and he did not stand there and just keep beating on people. He turned their tables over. Most likely somebody may have caught one, but he probably hit the tables. He probably hit the boxes and the cages. Personally, somebody coming at me with a whip, I'm running as fast the other way as I can. Especially if I'm in the wrong. They were not supposed to be in the temple doing this. People were using the temple court as a shortcut. It'd be like us having service today and people walking in, oh, I want to go to the back of the building. So they walk in that door and they walk through and go, interrupting everything. This is a house of God. I'm not going to call it the temple because the Bible says you're the temple. You're where the Holy Spirit lives. When we leave here today, the Holy Spirit is in us. It goes with us. The fruit you're supposed to be producing is going to come through the vine. But it can only produce fruit if you die to self. And again, you're not going to crucify yourself. Because what happened, the reason, and I'll share this, because a couple years ago I had lost the exact same amount of weight. And I felt great. We went on vacation. Is it Frank's? Is that the place up by Frankenmuth? Yeah. Anybody else been there beside? They, pretty awesome really. They have a BLT that has a pound of bacon on it. It was fantastic. That's not what did it to me. It was probably the world's largest strawberry shortcake. It was a whole block of ice cream. It was about this tall. They brought it in. I got a picture of it. I look back and I feel stupid. She ate some. I said, bless God, this is a challenge. I'm going to overcome it. I was so sick. I had done so well, but from that point on, I started putting the weight back on. I let go of the self-control that had got me. I can have a piece of shortcake because June's coming and I got strawberries. And I told her, I said, I don't care what diet I'm on. I'm having strawberry shortcake. It's what I have every year for my birthday. And I said, we're going to but I'm going to do it in moderation. I'm not going to go piggish like I did here. That was ridiculous. And it really wasn't all that good. It just wasn't. It was frozen strawberries, and it's not like the strawberry shortcake we have. But I let go of that self-control. 30 pounds later, Art, you can't breathe again. You either got to go buy a new suit, new pants, new everything except socks. So that's the only thing that somehow does not get fat on you is your feet. But they do wear holes in them, and I got a few. But you see, in all things, that's why Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but they're not beneficial. And if you understand what he was saying, he says, it is lawful for me to kill somebody. It's not beneficial. Because they're going to kill me. Because Paul did not live under the law anymore. Peter was trying to get people to abide by the law again. That's who he was talking to. Paul said, who hindered you in here in Galatians 5? Who hindered you? You were running so good. You were doing so well. You were changing because you were letting the Holy Spirit show you God's righteousness, not righteousness according to a law. I can go get drunk right now if I want to. It's not beneficial to me. Not because of what it's going to do to my body, but because of what it's going to do to you. I can't imagine what it would do to my body now. It's not beneficial. So I don't. I'm disciplined in that. There's so many things. We're going to continue more later, but I want you to understand that. Our fruit is listed. These are the 9 things. By the way, we didn't get into the works of the flesh. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. It's a sign of maturity. Jesus completed the final one on the cross. There are 17 works of the flesh. 17 is a number of overcoming. Go down those 17 and say, Lord, where do I start first? Because they're all works of the flesh. They're all what your body wants. It wants to hurt people. It wants to do whatever it wants. But you have to understand, not everything is beneficial. Personally, I love the smell of fiberglass resin. When the fiberglass plant closed down out there, I was bummed. I worked with it, man. I liked that smell. But let me tell you something. Being in that all the time without a respirator is not good for you. It's not good for you. Driving by it, it's one thing. Inhaling it like that is not. Don't have it anymore. More and more I understand about what I'm breathing in, what it's doing to my lungs, the less I like stuff like that. I like clean air. Let's stand. God is not condemning anybody here today, but what he is doing is opening your eyes to realize you have a part in your walk with him. You have to recognize, this isn't good. This is destructive behavior. Why am I doing it? Ask him why. And then shut up and wait till he answers. Why am I doing this? Most people do things to fill or cover a wound. That's why we do all things. Adam and Eve thought they were missing something, didn't they? God's got something we don't know. They took a bite of it and they're like, seriously, this is all that we got? We're naked? That's it. shame. They didn't have shame. That's all that eating that fruit did. Brought about shame. Not that we're to brag about what's going on in the world. Paul talked about several times. He said, these things we shouldn't even be mentioning that are going on. But the sad part is some of the stuff we're talking about here is happening in churches across this country and around the world. Well, this is the way we do it. No, that is wrong. Just like the way they did when they started hunting witches. You got a birthmark? You're a witch. Oh, God forbid you actually operate in the power of what God said. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come too. Can you imagine being somebody that God showed you what was going to happen? And then all of a sudden, they're trying to drown you. And if you can hold your breath, you're a witch. Yeah. We'll talk. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the life-changing power that is in it and through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we receive now the urgings of the Holy Spirit to overcome. Father, we receive that power in our lives to overcome those things that are easily besetting us. Father, help us to identify the wound. Lord, I know many people teach it doesn't matter, but I believe it absolutely does. Until you get the wound healed, it's going to keep festering. Lord, help us to identify those. Now, Father, I thank you for your power of your word. I thank you that it changes our lives daily. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them as they go about this week. Bless their businesses. Bless their places of employment. Lord God, bless their households with peace, love, and victory. In Jesus' name, amen.